Welcome to the Law of Attraction in Action podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm here to inspire you to live amazing lives through the Law of Attraction and help you see how powerful you really are. In this podcast, you'll hear interviews, and I will give you inspirational talks on my Monday session. So thank you so much for joining me, and happy manifesting! This show is sponsored by Victoria Johnson Coaching and Training Academy, home of Heal Your Life teacher and coach training in Canada. I took her training a year ago and was blown away by how truly transformative it was. Not only do you get the tools that Louise Hay taught herself, but you will become certified with Victoria in a program that is authorized by Hay House and was approved by Louise Hay herself. Also, check out Victoria's number one bestseller, Do That and Then Some, Transform Feelings of Less Than to More Than Enough, which is now available on Amazon. Visit thetraining.ca for more information. That's thetraining.ca. Thank you so much, and definitely check her out. Welcome to Law of Attraction in Action. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and I am your host. And as always, I'm super happy to bring to you amazing people who share their journeys around the Law of Attraction. And today's guest is someone I met recently, and I heard her speak about what she does, and I'm like, I have to get in touch with this woman because she's doing something that's in my bucket list of things to do, and we're going to talk more about what she does, but first let me tell you all about her. Her name is Dr. Michelle Millis Chapel, and she has a PhD in psychology from Princeton and was voted most inspirational professor at the University of California in Santa Cruz, where she taught cognition and creativity. Sounds awesome. Despite being called crazy by a few colleagues, she ditched academics to follow her dream to be a rock star. Since then, she's won 17 Billboard International Songwriting Awards, and her tunes have topped European, South African, and U.S. college radio charts and appeared on ABC, HBO, Encore, and Showtime. And for over 20 years, Michelle has combined psychology and music in her keynote talks, workshops, and coaching programs to help thousands of people from all walks of life. Thank you so much for being here, Michelle.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I love your just background. It sounds actually a little intimidating, to be real.
Well, you know, when you were reading it, I'm like, wow, that sounds pretty cool. I never think of myself that way.
But that's the thing. When I met you, I'm like, I just saw, you know, you say rock star, but you were so approachable and so present. But I love that you are out here sharing with the world there's more to life than just this one thing. And now you it's okay at any time to follow your passion and dreams. So before we go any farther about your life, because I'm so excited to hear about it, can you first share with my listeners, how did you come into the Law of Attraction and how has it changed your life?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Because I didn't even know about the Law of Attraction, but I was doing it. I was an undergraduate at Georgetown before I went on to Princeton, studying psychology, straight A student, you know, just top of all the classes, just very, you know, I was going to become a professor. But at night before I would fall asleep, for some reason, I found myself sort of daydreaming about singing in coffee shops, you know, like what is that about? And I just kept seeing myself sing in different places and having people react to it. And after a few years, I ended up ditching a career, you know, as a psychology professor to actually become a musician way before I realized I even had a good voice or I could write songs, just because I think because I was daydreaming about it all the time, you know?
Oh my God, I love it. Talk about taking a leap. You are my hero, officially my hero.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I had no idea that, you know, I was actually practicing, attracting music to me by just daydreaming about it so much. But I think I was daydreaming about it because it was really true and deep of, you know, like deeply true of who I am, but I wasn't ready to admit that to myself yet.
Yeah. Did you want to be a singer when you were younger and then somehow it got stifled or?
You know, I remember playing the piano when I was 5 years old as if I'd been trained, like classically trained, but it wasn't our piano at home though, because we didn't have one. It would be at friends' houses, but nobody ever really noticed. Nobody really took in that I was musical. And I heard music in my head all the time, but I just thought everybody did. So I didn't really realize that I could sing, funny enough, until I was actually at Princeton, getting my PhD in psychology, kind of, again, all by accident. I knew it was in me, but I didn't realize it was something that made me different from other people.
And so this is, again, I love having this conversation because I believe we are all born with a passion and purpose.
Yes.
And oftentimes it's not the most obvious for us. It comes in little whispers, right? And yes. So that daydreaming for you was your whisper, but you went ahead and went through psychology. But what I'm hearing from you is you melded both of them together.
Eventually, I did leave psychology behind for a while to do music. In fact, my first record deal was in South Africa. And I remember I was on the radio a lot there and doing a lot of tours with DJs. And I remember one DJ asked me, do you ever think you're going to go back to teaching? And I said, of course not. Are you crazy? I've got like a top 10 hit on the radio right now. Why would I do that? But then I missed it later, you know, and I realized, you know, you can have more than one superpower. And I still love psychology. I still love teaching, but I didn't want to be a professor anymore. So I ended up kind of combining the music and the psychology on my own in creativity workshops that I kind of put together my own way. And they really seem to help people. So it works.
So let's go back to where you decided to quit at Princeton. You had this idea to be a singer, you know, as far as tapping this into mindset and believing in yourself. What do you remember about how you felt back then? Did you have this fearlessness to you, or were you scared, or where were you on that?
Well, I was absolutely scared. Just being at Princeton, trying to get a degree in psychology is a very scary process. That was scary. And I was married at the time. And it ends up that I was putting all of my time into, you know, studying and getting my work, you know, self together to defend my dissertation. And my husband at the time left me. So I was just upset. Wow. And upside down. Yeah. And so I thought, well, you know, I need something to hold me together, even though I barely had any free time. I signed up for a guitar workshop at a local school. It wasn't at Princeton. It was near, you know, it was like held in an elementary school at night. And I walked in, and the class was full of nuns, which to this day, I do not know why that was, but it was all full of nuns. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is a sign. I don't know. So I sat down. I was just trying to do something to make me feel good. And music always appealed to me, you know, I was just doing it sort of by instinct. Mm-hmm. And so I was learning to play the guitar with all of these other nuns. And I remember one day, the teacher said, oh, she had us sing as we were playing the guitar. She wanted us to do both at the same time. And she said, at one point she goes, stop. Who is that voice? Who does that voice belong to? And I remember turning around, looking at everybody, I don't know. I wonder who it is, you know, and she couldn't figure it out. So we started up again and we started singing. And then she looked at me and she said, oh, it's you with the voice. And so I can honestly tell you that the way I started realizing I was a good singer was by having people tell me so. Because, you know, if you don't get out there and do it, you don't know. And also if you don't compare yourself to others, that's when I teach people how to find their superpowers. One of the ways you know is if it comes easily to you, if it's something that seems natural that you're not working at really just from the get-go, you're already pretty good at it. It doesn't mean you can't get a lot better, but something that comes naturally to you. And it started to help me to have people outside of myself say, yeah, you know, you've got something here.
Well, and you also followed your curiosity and your joy. You wanted a way to feel better. This is what I tell people all the time. And I know you know I do a video series called 365 Days of Joy. And the whole point is just every day, if we follow our joy, then the doors will open. And it's curiosity of, well, maybe I'll just try this guitar class, right? You probably had no clue if you'd even like it, but you were curious enough and it made you feel good.
Yeah.
It led you to that life. I love that.
You're absolutely right. And I do. I love your program, your 365. I've watched some of it. I really love it. It's very inspiring. You're welcome. Yeah. But you know, but I think one of the things that's important to remember is as you go towards your joy, not everybody's always going to support you or understand you, because I remember I started getting better at the guitar, and also I started singing more. And my best friend at Princeton at one point, you know, I started playing for my friends just like at home, you know, when we would have little parties. One of my best friends said, "Michelle, do not go into music. Do not go into music. Do not."
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And he was
like, "She's not still a friend."
Yeah. Well, you know, the idea was we were studying our butts off. And in Princeton, you know, it's really hard to get into Princeton. And like, don't throw it away, I think, is what I was hearing from him.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But it still made me happy. And I still did it. So that's why I went on. Because of that and some other people who were saying similar things, I went ahead and became a professor, you know, I was really good at it. But it always, you know, I had a guitar now and I kind of brought it everywhere I went with me, and I still would take it out to play at the end of the day to work out my issues. I started writing songs. I never really put it away. It was just always on the side. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of, what I've learned is when you start to find out what your joy is, what your superpower is, you have to believe in it enough to hold it close to you and not let people talk you out of it.
Absolutely. And that's why I've heard this from Louise Hay. Like, if you are just starting this journey and testing the waters, don't tell people, because there's naysayers out there who are going to be like, are you crazy? And then you start doubting yourself. So it is really important to put yourself in that little no negativity zone bubble. I call it a bubble.
Oh, nice.
You literally just say, this is my preciousness. And if it makes you happy and it brings you joy, you're onto something, right?
Absolutely. And you don't, one thing that's important to know too is there's research that comes out of San Francisco State University. Like, you, if you have a creative hobby outside of work, you actually do better at work. You get better evaluations from customers, from your boss, et cetera, than if you don't. So when you find your joy, if you feel like it may not be time to turn it into a career yet, or, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, to turn it into a business, you don't put that pressure on yourself, because just doing it on the side as a hobby is going to improve the quality of your life overall. And also, you'll do better at work because it refreshes you. It makes you happier. You become a better problem solver. So one way or the other, you should do it.
Yes. And you know, I knew a lot of nurses, as many people know, I'm a nurse by trade. And a lot of nurses have a lot of talent. I was always amazed how much talent is out there. And you know, most of us work 3 days a week, so we work the 12-hour shifts. And so we had a lot of time off, which is great. And so a lot of nurses got involved with extracurricular activities. And then I found a lot of nurses ended up realizing that nursing wasn't their passion, like me, and going somewhere else. And my hobby was personal development. I had no idea that it would take on the life it took on. But speaking of, I want to hear about, because I'm really curious. So you quit Princeton and then you decided to do this music full time. And what did that look like? I mean, how was that? Is there a way to define progress in that?
Well, yeah. I finished out Princeton. I got my PhD. I got a job as a professor, and I taught at a couple different schools. Finally moved to California, which I was at Santa Clara University, and I noticed that a lot of students would come to my office asking for advice about what they should do with their lives, you know, or where they should go to graduate school. And so, by the way, my guitar is in the closet, but I have it at home, you know. Uh-huh. And I noticed that I was giving them radically different advice from other professors and their parents. And all I said to them was, I think you should follow your heart. And a lot of my students went on to do very, very well in life, even though they didn't do, like, for example, one girl came to me and she was in tears because the professor across the hall had told her that she should go to graduate school on the East Coast for some reason. And she was engaged to be married and her fiance did not want to go to the East Coast. And I said to her, you know, as far as I can tell, there's a lot of really good schools on the West Coast. Why don't you just follow your heart and stay here? And she did. And she got into a great school and they got married. And then one day after I had done this with so many kids, I just thought to myself, wait a minute, Michelle, you're not following your own heart. Let's be real here. I mean, you wanna do music. You know you wanna do it. And I had to listen to my own advice at that point. So I actually quit my job at Santa Clara University. But before I did that, I had a band at night and I would be a professor at day during the day, you know, sort of like a superhero, you know, like you have an alternate identity.
Yeah.
So so I was like the professor by day, the rock and roller at night. I had a band and then I quit at Santa Clara. Then my band broke up, which is, but I kept going. And I started to teach part-time at UCSC Santa Cruz while I was building up this repertoire of songs. And right around that time, I had had a lot of songs picked up by people in LA and people in Nashville. And I met a guy who ended up becoming my manager. And he said, you know, and he was from South Africa. And he said, you know, these people are not doing anything with your songs. Why don't you just put them all on a CD, go out to South Africa. It's a small country. You can hit all the radio stations, probably get on a record label there. Let's see what happens. So that's exactly what I tried. And I got signed through Polygram Records. Gosh, about within 6 weeks of moving there. And I ended up having a top 10 hit over there. And it was just magical. It's like you were using the word magical. It just all kind of happened. And I took a big risk, you know, cause first I quit the full-time job and then I left the part-time job and just moved to South Africa and it worked.
Mm-hmm. There's so many goodies in this conversation. There really is, because I think the biggest thing why most people don't succeed is they're not willing to take that scary jump, that leap.
Yeah.
And that leap is absolutely necessary. That's been in my life and for my sweetie's life, sounds like for your life, you had to take that leap. But so there's this other thing I want to talk about with this, what happened with you is, you know, there's one thing if you're, you know, you visualize, you believe you have this dream and you say, this is what I want. And you do all the law of attraction tools, you know, visualizations and affirmations and vision boards. And then there's another thought, which I love, which I'm doing in my life, is this absolute faith in the universe that it's going to pull. I just kept following the pull.
Yes.
And I kept believing in the divine flow that is going to get me there. And when I think in those terms, when I feel in those terms, then life flows and I don't have to do anything. So what was your process? Did you do law of attraction processes or did you go in the flow?
I think, you know, funny enough, performing music, writing music actually puts me into a flow state where I'm connected. I feel very connected with the universe and what it wants from me. And a lot of songs, I know you'll understand this, a lot of songs get written through me. So I'm already, yes, you know, I'm already giving up control. And, you know, when you visualize things, you have to be open to the opportunities that come. And I wasn't thinking that South Africa was the place I wanted to wind up by any means. It was not on my radar. But when, you know, I was offered that opportunity, it made a lot of sense. I knew I had a firm enough situation at UCSC that they probably would take me back if I went for a year or so, which they did because I did come back. But I think part of it is, accepting those weird, weird opportunities that seem to flow your way.
You right. Because it doesn't always look like we expect it to. You know, one of my favorite books, and I know for all the people who are listening, I say this every single time about every book I've read, but The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. Have you read that one?
No, that sounds good though. I like
so
the title.
Good. Surrender Experiment. Anyone who's listening, please get that book. But he basically over 40 year time span, he talks about how he made a mission or a goal, but he said, and like when he was in 1971 or something. So I'm going to surrender. All he wanted to do is meditate and do yoga. But long story short, his life turned out miraculous. He became a multimillionaire, developed software. None of this was stuff he even wanted. He just kept surrendering to wherever the divine was pulling him. He just kept saying yes. He kept going. And it's an inspiring story because sometimes I think, oh, you have a desire, you have a vision, and you focus on that vision. Now there's that school of thought, right? With like Think and Grow Rich and, you know, Jack Canfield and all these famous law of attraction people.
Yes.
And there's also that surrender. And I'm actually more geared towards surrender. And it sounds like your life, Michelle, has been a surrender.
Well, surrender to outside and inside opportunities, because, you know, when I was, I told you, I said to those DJs in South Africa, no, I'll never go back to teaching, you know, but I did go back to teaching for a little bit. I came back to UCSC, but what I also thought to myself is I'm a good teacher. I really love teaching. Maybe I should offer some like creativity workshops and use my teaching skills and my knowledge of psychology and music, because I love all of that. You know, I love all of it. I'm drawn, pulled, as you put it, towards it. And I had just taken a workshop, and I also wanted to write a book someday. I took a workshop through UCSC Extension about how to be a better writer. And I thought, well, I really loved the workshop. And I thought, well, if I, you know, I could teach a workshop like this. So I offered one to them, doing exactly what I just said, and they accepted. And I think I was the second most popular workshop in all of the extension program. And I had, people were signing up. I had to open up other classes. So many people wanted to take the workshop. So I ended up, sort of bringing all those different, passions or loves, together, because that's, you know, but it didn't make sense. You know, well, I teach as a professor, right? Or I do music, but I do that as a rock star, right? Well, but what if you want to do all of it? That's weird. So I kind of swirled it together and made something new.
Yay! You know what I mean? Yeah, you're the one who like made the door. Like if there's no door, you make your door.
I made the door.
You made your door. You're a trailblazer. That's what
you did. Oh, thanks. I like that. Yeah, but I think too, people were, you know, when I would ask some of the people who took my classes, like after it was at the end and they were writing evaluations, I would sometimes ask, what, you know, why did you take the workshop in the first place? Just curious. And a lot of them said, your bio. they were attracted to the fact that I had all those things going on. I don't know exactly still why that would be, except for maybe it was calling up in them that they have more than one, you know, because what I found over the years, because I've helped so many people find their invisible, like to me, I didn't even know I could sing until I was in my 20s. I help a lot of people find invisible superpowers, call them invisible because they don't know, or hidden. They don't know what they are, but they're there, you know? And I think maybe it was attracting them because they were like, yeah, she's done this and that. And I have more in me too than being an accountant or.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is a great conversation because people who are listening, I know when I became a nurse, I thought I'd be a nurse till I die. Like that's it. I'm happy with that because I love being a nurse. I really love my career as a nurse. I'm again not working as one now, but I'm not willing to give up my license because I still love nursing.
Yeah.
I've met people since we met a woman in Central or outside of Portland on the Gorge and Hood River for people who live locally. And she used to be a nurse, and she and her husband decided to leave everything in the Portland area, moved to Hood River, which is a beautiful area on the Columbia Gorge, and they bought an alpaca farm.
Oh, wow.
And talk about totally different. And now she's doing acting. So it's like, we can always reinvent ourselves. And I think what happens and tell me if I'm wrong, Michelle, I think things are changing, but people grow up thinking you need to have one career and that's it. And what you're showing people is that you absolutely don't need to stick with one thing because we're multifaceted. We have lots of interests. Why should we limit ourselves to just one thing?
I totally agree with you. I've never met anyone who had just one thing going on. I mean, everybody's got a hobby outside of work, at least, you know, a passion. They love to cook or whatever it is. It's important to notice what those things are because that's all of who you are. It's like you said, we're multifaceted. And sometimes if you're a polymath, like I am, a Renaissance woman, a Renaissance man, where you're kind of good at a lot of things. That can
what did you call it? Poly what?
It's a polymath, P-O-L-Y-M-A-T-H.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's actually a thing where, I'm not bragging or anything. It's just, I am good at a lot of different things, and it can get confusing, you know, people who grow up being the golden child. So what I say to people who have a lot of interests like that is you don't have to do them all at once. You can do a couple at a time, and you hit different phases of your life where it makes more sense to do something, you know, in your 20s and maybe something else in your 30s. And then maybe you bring them back together in your 40s. You've got so many options. You just sort of flow towards whatever's bringing you the most joy and be open to all of it.
And, you know, I keep hearing stories of people who started their massive success later in life in their, you know, 50s. I just heard an interview on Tony Robbins' podcast where this woman started her company when she was 54 and now she's a billionaire, you know, like when it, so I think we are always able to evolve. But I think what I would love to do is tap into people in their 20s, because I think we do. We grow up, we go to college, we're like, okay, this is the degree I'm going to get, and that's what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. And what we're telling people is that's not the truth. We have our whole life ahead of us, and why not embrace all of our traits and make money at it too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think once upon a time, people did stay in jobs for 20 years and you would get that watch, or 50 years, and you would get that golden watch at the end, or right, gold watch. But it hasn't been like that for a long time. And we kind of, I think we're living in a place now where people have slash careers. You know, they have more than one career. I certainly did it back in the day as a professor and a singer. You know, I was doing it at the same time, and then I was teaching creativity workshops, and later I worked in the internet for a while, and I still, you know, had another CD out in Europe, and I was still teaching workshops. You know, especially if you're younger, you got a lot of energy. I really believe that when you do more than one thing together like that, it makes you stronger in the other things that you do as well. So slash careers are kind of happening right now, and you can have a couple careers going at the same time.
Well, and it gives people permission, and, you know, but it must have been hard for you coming from this degree from Princeton in psychology. You worked really hard to get there. It must have been really hard to even get in there. And then you leave it. And I remember, Tamara Keeves. Have you heard of her? I think it's Tamara Keeves. She, is a speaker author. I feel bad. I'm not giving her recognition because I can't remember all her details, but she was a lawyer and, went to Harvard Law School, and she was thought she'd have to be a lawyer the rest of her life. And she decided she wants to be a writer. So she quit doing law and worked as a waitress just so she can make ends meet so she can write her book. And her whole family's like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Are you crazy?
Oh, so, yeah. That's exactly what I got when I decided to leave full-time teaching. My mother, oh my goodness, she, pretty much said I was insane many times. And some of my colleagues did too. But then I got, you know, a top 10 hit in South Africa, and some of those people stopped saying that, you know. And over time, I came to put a lot of psychology in my songs. So you can have a passion and tweak it to, you know, as you get older or as you change your lifestyle, but still have that passion in a different way, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's making sense to you, but I've never stopped thinking about psychology. In fact, I just finished writing a book, and I think you'll like this. You'll appreciate this. The book tells stories of people who have changed their lives, but it also has psychology tools in there. It's got links to my music and music videos.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like a multifaceted approach to help people find their own multifaceted selves.
Yes. And, you know, music to me is therapy. I always find that's why it's funny you say music and psychology, because, you know, we all do. I think, about it. If you're having a bad day, you put a song on that helps you feel that emotion. If you're having a happy day, you're like, I want to hear happy music, and it makes you feel excited. And I'm like, I love The Greatest Showman, the soundtrack, because it always reminds me of just this belief in what is possible in our lives. And so music absolutely is psychology. It's funny that you said that. I don't know why I even thought of that a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you might find this interesting too. When I first started teaching my workshops, I would just More talk about psychology and the process of writing songs, just to share my creative process, because I had people who were a guy who had retired from the army, who wanted to become a songwriter. You know, I had so many different people had so many different interests. So I would share songwriting as a process, but a few years in, I started actually singing songs in the class, like singing some of the songs that I wrote that would help people navigate around obstacles and still believe in themselves, you know, you can make it, that kind of thing. And I noticed that people started making breakthroughs faster when I would sing the songs in the classes than before when I didn't.
Wow.
Yeah. And
wow.
Then isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think part of it was there's research because, you know, I'm also a researcher, my degree in cognitive psychology. I did research for a long time. There's a lot of research that shows that music stimulates more of the brain than, say, like the conversation that we're having now. It stimulates a fair amount of the brain. But if we were singing to each other, which would be.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah, I know.
But
it stimulates even more of the brain than just a conversation can, which is why sometimes dementia patients, you know, I think you've probably seen footage where they come alive if you play an old song. It's because it's stimulating parts of their brain that are still healthy that words alone can't reach. So I think in my workshops, I kind of, again, it's all sort of accident and intuition. You know, you're following your intuition, or it's an accidental discovery. Somebody just wanted me to sing a song one time, you know, like, come on, we never hear your song. So I did. And people made breakthroughs probably 3 weeks faster, you know, than they normally would. And I think it's because, hitting them on another level. So there's magic, you know, and all of these different approaches. And music too is a universal language. And I think you're a musician too. If you're a musician, it's in your soul.
Well, and that's what I was telling everyone before we got on this call. I told Michelle off the air that I want to be a singer, just like Michelle, maybe not a rock star, but I want to be a singer. So that's something I'm going to manifest. So I love that I've manifested you into my life to help.
Well, maybe I could help you with that.
Seriously, maybe I can.
And being a rock star wasn't the important thing for me, actually, to be honest with you. It was just, well, to borrow a phrase from Joseph Campbell, I was following my bliss, you know, doing something that was just so deeply true to me. And I, to be honest with you, when I was in South Africa and one of my songs was going up the charts, I wasn't that happy because I was being treated more like a product than a person. And there was a lot of pressure on me, and there was excitement when it was going up, but then when it got about as high as it was going to go, there was disappointment, you know, and I just thought, this isn't why I'm in music. I'm in music too, because it connects my soul to, well, you know, first of all, I lose myself in the moment, which I think is, if you don't mind me sharing, one of the top ways you know what a superpower is for you is if when you do it, you tend to lose yourself in time, like time flies by, and you're like, what? I've been sitting here for 2 hours doing this, you know, but it connected me to my source or to who I really am. And then it was cool that people liked the songs and one was climbing the charts, but you know, I really changed my, intention after that, to write songs that would help people. If they get on the charts, that's cool too. But my intention was more to just be in the moment, do something that feels right and true to me and help other people. And so I really kind of shifted my music career after that. So being a rock star is okay, but it's not all it's cracked up to
and,
be.
You know, I love this because I often think about my bigness when I always believe I'm going to go big, but I say big because I feel the spiritual energy flow through me and that's huge, right? So
yes.
I don't take credit for that bigness, but I feel like I'm an outlet for it. And so people have been reaching out to me saying, well, the only reason I'm reaching out to you because you're so approachable. And that is something that is so important to me. So to me, to be a rock star, yeah, I guess I do put that symbolism on. If you're a rock star, you're unapproachable. I always want to be approachable. And I can tell you're the same way.
Yeah.
That's
oh, absolutely.
So important. And everything that I'm doing with my podcast is as big as it's, you know, it's getting lots of numbers and it's growing and leaps and bounds. I'm always about how can I keep it about the people always. Like I don't want it to be so big where I can't connect with people. That is so important to me, but that's the divine energy that we're both speaking about, you and I.
Yes. Yes. And well, that's what works for me. I mean, I think some people do are built for business and marketing and promotions, and that's their superpower. Mine is more of being of service. So yes. Yeah, so I like to use my teaching. I will call it a superpower because I'm a very, very good teacher. I know I am. And music superpower and whatever else I can offer in service to help other people find their superpowers. And then, like you said, that takes off too in its own way because you're following your true path, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but for me, being a rock star is, it sounds fun and I still say it, but it's not like the end all and be all for me.
Yeah, no, Michelle. And you were so down to earth and so just beautiful and heartfelt. This is great. And everyone who is listening right now, I hope you hear Michelle and her story and know that you can do it too. Cause that's what I'm hearing from this Michelle.
That's it.
Her story makes me think, oh, I could be a singer. I could, you know, sing in South Africa or China, who knows, right?
Well, you never know. I mean, I've helped people even, I would say, probably the oldest person that I've had in my workshop so far is 84.
Uh-huh.
And she learned that she could dance and she didn't know. You know, a lot of times you don't, it's a journey to find the different things that you're gifted at. It's almost like a treasure hunt, you know, you could look at it that way. And, you know, dancing at that point in her life brought her so much joy. And also, she met a guy, you know, yay.
Oh, I love that. Also a great story. Cause people go, I'm too old for love. Like, no, you're not.
No. And even, some young, you know, I have worked with young people as well. And I think in some ways they're closer to knowing what their superpowers are, because I think when you're a child, you are more in touch with that. And then it sort of gets drilled out of you because you end up playing a family role that's different from who you are, or school sort of rewards you for imitating rather than, you know, doing something creative. And then the culture you live in may or may not support, you know, what your true loves are. But so you tend to lose it. So even with young people, I love to work with them as well before they go too far down a path that isn't real for them or isn't good for them. Because a lot of times I'll get people who are pretty burned out mm-hmm. later in life, who then figure out, oh my God, I had no idea, you know, but yes, I do. Cause I remember I used to like doing that, you know, writing, for example, yes. when I was in high school, but a teacher gave me an F on a paper when I put my heart and soul into it. So I forgot all about it. And I married a writer and my son is a writer, but I'm not a writer. Yes, you are a writer, you know? Right. So it's so I see people kind of lose themselves and then eventually find their way back, which is so, I love that. But if I can help people not get too far down, you know, a path that doesn't suit them, that's even better.
I know. I love it. Well, Michelle, you are amazing. And I want people to be able to get in touch with you. So how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website. So it's Michelle Chapel. Michelle has two L's in it and Chapel has two P's in it. And Chapel. And you can hear my songs there. And you can see music videos there. You can see workshops and bits and pieces of talks I've given. So that's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. And I feel so lucky that you live in the same town as me, because I'm going to hang out with you.
I would love to. Actually, I would really love to. Yeah,
that would be fun. And for people listening, someday I'm going to sing on air.
I'll help you with that.
Okay.
I will.
I say that. I was like, what did I just say?
Oh, I will.
Recorded.
I can help you. I can help you if you want me to. I would love to.
So, well, thank you, Michelle. And thank you everyone for listening. And again, reach out to Michelle. I'm already in love with her and I know you are too. Michelle, you're just great.
So are you, Michelle. And I love the fact that we're both Michelles.
I know, right? I love it too. I love it. So if anyone is interested in being on my podcast, please go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And I would love to hear from you. And so would the whole world, right? So thank you for listening, everyone, and happy manifesting. Thank you again for listening and joining me on my podcast. If you want to learn more about me, please go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And on there, I have lots of goodies, including guided meditations and inspirational posts and blogs. And of course, I'm here to help you as your coach. So thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.